Howdy, and welcome to Bob the Lector. I'm Bob. The purpose of this podcast is to inspire Catholic lectors to bring their proclamation of God's Word to life. This episode is for the second reading of Christmas Day, Year A, a reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, in times past, God spoke in partial and various ways to our ancestors through the prophets. In these last days, He has spoken to us through the Son, whom He made heir of all things, and through whom He created the universe, who is the refulgence of His glory, the very imprint of His being, and who sustains all things by His mighty word. When He had accomplished purification from sins, He took His seat at the right hand of the Majesty on high. As far superior to the angels, as the name He has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my Son, this day I have begotten you"? Or again, "I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me"? And again, when He leads the firstborn into the world, He says, "Let all the angels of God worship Him." The Word of the Lord. Woohoo! We made it! We can forget all about St. James's sermonizing to us about being patient. Finally, it's Christmas Day. So let's get to it, shall we? I always start my own lector practice with preparation, which is not the external proclamation, but the internal discernment of the message. What is God saying to us? What is the point of this reading? What is the meaning of this reading? Because if it doesn't mean anything to us, how can we as lectors make it mean anything to the congregation before us? It dawns on me that unlocking the meaning for us lectors is twofold. What does it mean to our heads? And what does it mean to our hearts? Ideally, we'll unlock both, and in so doing, proclaim God's word in such a way that our congregations' heads and hearts will similarly be opened. Let's first talk about what this reading might mean to our heads. In the New Testament, the letter to the Hebrews is preceded by 13 letters attributed to Paul. On June 24, 1914, the Pontifical Biblical Commission asked, "Should the Apostle Paul be considered the author of the letter to the Hebrews?" Quote, "Answer, in the negative, saving the further judgment of the church," end quote. Nonetheless, the commission confirms its Pauline origin, specifically as it pertains to doctrine. Some sources believe it was written by one of his disciples, maybe Barnabas, Silas, or Apollos. The commission cites how this reading differs from the 13 letters attributed to Paul by, quote, "the elegance and perfection of its diction and style," end quote. I would echo that sentiment. This reading is structured very logically, unlike Paul's typical rambling. It was probably written after his imprisonment in Rome, but prior to his execution, which would put it somewhere between the years 63 and 67. Tradition says St. Paul was beheaded under Emperor Nero, June 29th, 67. What does this reading mean to our hearts? I have to admit, this one snuck up on me. At first it seemed dull and plodding, but after my fifth or sixth reading, it came to life for me. It starts slowly, then erupts with the glorification of today's newborn Messiah. This is the message we need to bring to life, the glorification of Jesus, the Son of God. If I didn't know better, this could belong at the end of the 2025 liturgical year, on the Feast of Christ the King. What lessons do you get from this reading? Now let's talk about practice and delivery. The reading starts off with, "Brothers and sisters, in times past, God spoke in partial and various ways to our ancestors through the prophets." Imagine yourself sitting across the kitchen table from the people in the pews before you, just having a chat. The audience are Jewish folks, pre-Messiah. The author refers to the prophets, just like Isaiah, who we heard in the first reading, that told us about the Messiah. But the message and vision were not clear, hence the reference to God speaking in partial and various ways. So emphasize partial and various in a manner that highlights the lack of clarity, the lack of confidence present in those days. This is confirmed by our understanding that the Jewish people, based on what their ancestors believed, expected the Messiah to be an earthly king, not a heavenly one. Pause after prophets, then continue the informal conversational tone through "in these last days." Note the parallelism between "in times past" and "in these last days." Use your tone of voice to highlight the contrast between the then and the now. Then gradually shift to a different tone. "He has spoken to us through his Son." Speak these words in direct contrast to the vague, partial, and various ways God spoke previously. So there should be a spirit of confidence in your facial expression and tone of voice. Also note the parallelism between "through the prophets" and "through the Son." Contrast the difference between getting a message from a middleman versus getting it directly from its original source. The message continues, "whom he made heir of all things, and through whom he created the universe, which is the refulgence of his glory, the very imprint of his being, and who sustains all things by his mighty word." Gradually build a crescendo during this segment. Create power and energy with a faster pace reflecting that energy. Your tone will be stronger because now you are glorifying Jesus Christ, the very Son of God. So along with this boldness, also portray joy over the wonderment of it. Emphasize the words "all," "the universe," "refulgence," "glory," "very imprint," "all things," and "mighty word." So I must confess, I didn't know what the word refulgence meant. It's a radiant or resplendent quality or state of brilliance. So if you look at the other words in this segment, it totally fits. So the author is not making any bones about Jesus being the mirror image of God the Father, the creator of the universe. Continue a joyful sense of wonder and incredulity of this gospel truth that Jesus is the Son of God. The author goes on, "when he had accomplished purification from sins." Read these words in a matter-of-fact way, this allusion to Christ's crucifixion. What follows refers to his resurrection and ascension. "He took his seat at the right hand of the Majesty on high, as far superior to the angels, as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs." Deliver these words with power and majesty, fitting for the King of the universe. Then there's a real shift in composition and style. What follows is a call and response structure. So the call is, "for to which of the angels did God ever say?" So that's the initial challenge. Say it in a tone you might hear during a courtroom cross-examination, pointed and direct, maybe even mocking of the angels. Then there's three responses, two questions, and then an answer. You respond with the first two questions. "You are my son? On this day I have begotten you?" Or again, "I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me." Act like the angels are on trial. Express a demeanor as if to say, "really? You got to be kidding, that anyone would even think such a thing?" Emphasize again and again, saying them with a similar tone and cadence to accent their parallelism. And then the punchline. "And again, when he leads the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him." That is the close, the primacy of Jesus Christ, and where we left him at the end of the 2025 liturgical year, as Christ the King. Deliver the last line with a sense of wonder and as an expression of his sovereignty. Have a blessed Christmas. Well, that's all for now. Thanks for listening. My hope is these ideas will help you find your authentic voice, so your proclamation of God's word will transform your listeners, whether they're in pain and broken or just going through the motions. Because the good news deserves great delivery. Visit us on the web at bobthelector.org, and we'll see you at the AMBO.